as I pass the call to Diane D. One.
Good evening, everyone. I'll be coming to you today from Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, and I will be coming out of the ESV version. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. May the Lord add a blessing for the reading, hearing, and doing of His word as I pass the call to Beauty.
Amen. Hold on, let me take my phone.
Good evening. Happy Friday. Whew, hallelujah. I'm so excited about today. First of all, for those who are tuning in, if you're just tuning in, this life of Friday night, remotely, because I'm in my car, pulled over. I just dropped off a gift, and I had a wonderful day. But that's going to be a whole other declaration. Thank you, Bubbly, for greeting and hosting, and Diane for that scripture. And for those who tune in, just Friday Night Live, y'all know what it is. I'm just going to cancel the call tonight, but then I just things that have happened this week. The Holy Spirit is like, no, you're not. For whatever and whoever and however it comes out. And then what I have prepared to share is at home, and I'm not. So I'm just going to go ahead. And it's so funny how Brother Marcus hit us this morning with that mic throwing, dark firing. I mean, that declaration this morning, oh, my goodness, was amazing. So he said, what are you praying for? And I want to talk about prayer. I want to talk about, and I'm actually going to bring up, again, you guys know the forum. It's the Friday Night Live call where there's no subject matter that we can't talk about. It's a safe place. It's a place where we come and we share and we encourage one another. We laugh, we cry, we gently pull each other's coattail if need be. Real funny, I got a text from my big brother E asking me, "What? Ain't no Friday night live call?" with a question mark. Like, I was tripping. And I was like, it's 3:30. I'm sitting in Oakland. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, maybe somebody else said it was canceled. And then it dawned on me, that brother is off. The time is off. So he's thinking it's 6 because it is there, but not here. Anyway, just the fact that he is in another state and looks forward to what we come together on Friday. So that just blessed me. And also my journey I took today, y'all. I'm so in love right now just with just God placing beautiful people in my life and giving me an opportunity to be around love. Oh, my God. But getting back to what we're talking about, I'm going to go to, and if you guys, anybody have the battle plan for prayer, chapter 11 is how the locks of prayer, and I'm going to talk about that. Just kind of to go back, and when Brother Marcus was, it was so good this morning. So from Job 35 and 13, can somebody just quickly tell me if you can hear me, because I'm on my cell phone, and I'm not sure if you can hear me clearly. Am I muted?
Yes, ma'am. You are heard.
Okay. Thank you, darling. So, again, Job 35 and 13. Surely God will not listen to an empty prayer. Accessing God through prayer is not meant to be like cracking a safe. He has a hidden combination so that all we can do is hope to land on the right coordinates. Otherwise, we're blocked out. And yet, because he knows everything and understands the dynamic of his holiness versus our sinfulness, God himself decides and directs us regarding how prayer works, not us. At the same time, life on earth is an unavoidable battle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. That's Ephesians 6:12. God has graciously, protectively given us rules to help our prayer and our warfare be successful. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus said to his followers. It's John 14 and 18. He didn't want his disciples left alone to the wolves like an abandoned child without anyone to care for them and lead them. So God in his word delivered some means of engagement to make us rush, tough and battle ready for the difficult days ahead. And we are in some difficult days. Think of them not as boxes to check off and follow, but as guides that show us how to transform prayer into a truly rewarding experience. Think of them as an expert training tip from a master teacher whose desire is to send us out there fully prepared, not with the, what did Diane say, the hole in your armor? Never caught off guard, moving bravely into attack position. Over the years, we've categorized 20 of these biblical principles into what we call the locks and keys of prayer. 10 of them are principles that bog down our prayer and restrict its freedom and effectiveness. The other 10, however, give prayer a burst of second wind and third wind, pushing it beyond all limits. This chapter we're reading is talking about the 10 locks of prayer. So one is praying without knowing God through Jesus. Prayer is obviously a fairly universal response when a person is under heavy attack. How many interior hallway closets have turned into prayer closets when a tornado is bearing down? God, of course, can answer any request he chooses from any person who asks. But when it comes to knowing God as Father and walking with him in answered prayer, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, John 14:6. Just as people who don't share much common ground in their relationship have a hard time keeping conversations going, those who haven't believed in God for the forgiveness of their sins cannot expect God to feel obligated to respond. Then praying from an unrepentant heart. The Bible says God knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust, Psalms 103:14. He's not surprised by our struggle to remain steadfast, but he also looks at our hearts, and he knows when we are broken by our sins, Psalms 51:17. The trouble comes, however, when our hearts aren't broken at all, when we're cold and indifferent toward his word and our transgressions of it. As the writer of Psalm 66 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. When we cling to our sin and stiff-arm God, then he will stiff-arm our prayers until we are willing to repent. If we're determined to be the one who calls the shots in our lives, we shoot ourselves in the foot as far as our prayer is concerned. Praying for show. People who pray merely to impress others have better enjoy those people's amens and compliments while they last, because according to Jesus, that's the full extent of the reward. When you pray, he said, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full, Matthew 6:5. Public prayers that have not been seasoned by private prayers are hardly worth the hot air required to speak them. Always remember, even when you're leading others in prayer, you're still addressing an audience of one. Praying repetitive, empty words. Prayer can take a lot of forms. It can be spoken off the cuff. It can be written out in real word for word. It can be so deep and heartfelt that it only comes out of a single syllable. One thing that makes our praying land with a thud of wasted words is when we're talking and talking but aren't even listening to what we're saying, Jesus said. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him, Matthew 6:7-8. Sure, there's discipline and duty behind prayer. We don't always feel like praying. Come on, we really don't, even when we do it. But we all know when we've let prayer devolve into nothing but canned, thoughtless, mindless words. And no one, not even God, likes to be on the receiving end of that kind of thoughtless conversation. Prayers not prayed. Surely the most ineffective prayers of all are those we never even take the time to pray. As James said, you do not have because you do not ask, James 4:2. How many times do we just motor past him, never breaking for directions or advice, too busy and in too much of a hurry to stop and seek his counsel? We want to pray. We thought about it, but we never were able to work it into our schedule. Therefore, we should not expect an unprayed prayer to receive anything other than an unsatisfying silence.
praying with a lustful heart. Some of us never out in our tendency to ask God for things we want only because we think they'll be our source of happiness rather than Him. You ask and you do not receive, James said, because you ask with the wrong motive, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. That's James 4 and 3. If lust, greed, bitterness, or pride are motivations for requesting something, then God will not be pleased to respond. Like a wise parent with a pushy child, God knows what to give us for our good and what not to give us for our good as well. But if we love Him most, then He takes delight in giving us the good things He desires. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. 7, while ministering, I'm on 7, I was supposed to tell y'all, there's 10, there's only 3 more left. Praying while ministering, mistreating your spouse. This part, when Marcus said this morning, when we're not treating with love and respect the one person in our life whom we vow to treat with love and respect, God makes special mention of it as an inhibitor to prayer. His warning is primarily to men. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. That's 1 Peter 3 and 7. But the same principle obviously cuts both ways. How can we expect to be at peace with God in prayer when we are sowing disunity in our own homes? Being ugly to our wives and husbands is a backbreaker in prayer. Wow. Praying while ignoring the poor. Scripture is replete with compassion of God for the poor, the needy, the helpless victim, the voiceless, and those who suffer persecution and injustice. When you show compassion to those in need, God shows favor on your request. But the opposite is true as well. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. It's Proverbs 21:13. If you snub the poor and destitute as if they're less than human, an eyesore, or just completely invisible, expect to feel blockage in your experience of prayer. Needy sinners like ourselves shouldn't feel more deserving of the Father's care and notice than the needy around us. Praying with bitterness in your heart towards someone, it is sinful to receive God's forgiveness truly undeserved and then consider ourselves exempt from the command and responsibility of forgiving others who've offended us. Whenever you stand praying, Jesus said, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Mark 11:25-26. Bitterness is a toxin that not only poisons us spiritually, mentally, even physically, but also poisons the effectiveness of prayer and the full experience of our relationship with God. And then the final one, 10, is praying with a faithless heart. One final barrier to prayer is the basic prerequisite of belief. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Whenever we don't trust in Him and are convinced that we have the capability or willingness to do what they say, a breach clouds the relationship. Same thing happens if we don't believe God can help us with what we need. We should ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the serpent of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. 1:58. Lukewarm belief is the weakest form of praying. God locks us out of our own prayer closet. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for another opportunity to just come for my brothers and my sisters, the victors, God. We are victors and we declare victory. We thank you, God, just for giving us a forum, God, a safe place to pray. God, I just thank you for life. I thank you for the air that we breathe. I thank you for the right now moment, God. I thank you for the gift of peace that you give us, God, when we pray effectively to you, God. I just thank you for my sister Deanna. Lord, as she's traveling home, let her have safe travels, God. And for those that are fighting symptoms in their body, God, you are Jehovah Rapha, the healer. So help us believe you for our healing, God.
Help us believe you for everything that we need, because you are the provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God of peace. You are Jehovah Shalom. You are everything that we need, God. We have to depend on you. We have to learn to trust you with everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sad. It all goes back to trusting you and your word, God, because you say that all things work together for the good of those who love you. And Lord, we love you. We thank you, and I give you praise, glory, and honor as we go on into the Friday night live discussion. Who's on the line?
Anyone else join the call? They would like to say good evening. Hey.
Good evening, family.
Hey, Lisa. How you feeling, honey?
Ooh, I'm about to take a nap.
The medicine is kicking in, honey. I heard a sound.
I'm hurting a little bit, but all is well. Praise God.
Amen. Anybody else out there in the live and living color for Friday Night Live?
Renee, good evening. Happy Friday.
Hey, Mom, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, sis?
Good to hear your sound. Been missing that.
Oh. I'm sorry. Somebody was walking behind me. I thought I was going to have to go into karate mode. I didn't see him coming. I'm going back on mute, sorry.
Okay.
Watch and pray.
Watch. Girl, go ahead.
Yeah, I always do. Come on.
I love you, Lisa Porter. You just don't know how your sound, and I'm not getting off the thing, but just your sound in the way that no matter what it is, you got a word for it, and that is so good. I want to be like that. I want to get like that, too. I do. I am. That's my desire. Not to be like you, but to be like the Christ in you. So just to clear that up, because I know you was going to tell me, don't do it. All right, you know you.
Well,
see, I know enough about you. I know enough about you on that. But I just thank God for you. I mean, I thank God for all of you guys. I'm just so excited right now because just, that, I remember when we went over this particular lesson and how excited I got about it then, and I'm getting more excited about it now because my whole relationship with God has changed a lot since lesson 11 to where we are now. So I just want to say everybody has a piece for me, no matter what is going on in my life. If I need a laugh or something, I know where I can get that from. If I need encouragement, I know where I can get that from. If I know if I just need a word right quick, you know, I'll text you, Lisa, where is da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And you be on it. You know what I mean? Everybody plays a part, just like we are as a part of the body of Christ. I hope I'm not going too much, going on and on and on, but I'm just so super excited right now about that lesson, because make me want to have to look for my book a little harder now. But Dee, thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you had some other plan, but God knew just what he was doing when he gave you that to give to us. I just love you so much, sis. Oh, okay, I'm going back on mute.
I love you too. I'm just getting on the freeway now because y'all know my day. I'm excited about my day. Okay, nothing changed my joy because I'm in a bubble. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Anybody want to just say hey and just did the chapter 11 from Battle Plan for Prayer help? Anybody get anything out of it that they want to talk about? Or if not that, what is your battle plan for prayer? Because Marcus started it off this morning, and I'm going to tell you something. My nephew Josiah, that boy Dion, if you feel listening, that boy, we have... My goodness, I'm about to pull my car over and shout because of the young man that he is and some things that he shared with me. I'm like, this is a baby, and he takes note to everything. So y'all know, just be mindful that the babies are paying attention to us. So that's the only reason why, seriously, I kept on with the call because I was like, we're going to eat. I'm going to go home. I'm going to say no call because I'm tired. But no, I'm not. So does anybody have anything they want to ask or say?
It's me again. I'm jumping in. I'm doing the double dutch right now. I'm just waiting. But that's because what you just said, Didi, because what we were talking about earlier about the strength that he draws from to be able to keep going, you draw on his strength to keep going. Am I? That's what I'm hearing. And that's the connection that we all have, that we all, as believers, that, you know, when, like I said, when you need whatever you need to get, God will provide it for you just like that.
I really feel like, because you, the women on the call last night, y'all knew when I was pulling up to the vigil, I was like, I don't even know. I can't say I don't even know why I went, because I literally, and I laugh when I hear people say, the Holy Spirit, well, yesterday that's what happened, because I wasn't going. So just that whole experience changed my outlook, and then the Lord blessed me to spend time with a soldier today, y'all. Seriously, when I tell you my heart posture, it changed just in the last couple of days, and how I think about prayer and even the things that I'm waiting for God to do or the things that I'm thinking should have been done already. And even I just had a conversation with Miss Jackie Dion's mom, and just, you never know when you listen to somebody, you can get something out of a conversation, because I don't know about nobody else on the line, but my prayer life has been raggedy. I didn't put the D in it, but it's been raggedy. Because I'm lazy about it, I'm an intercessor, but I'm interceding for who I want to, and I'm just keeping it 100. There's times when I hear somebody ask for prayer, and I'm like, I ain't doing that. That ain't what I'm supposed to do. So I'm checking what I'm doing to check my prayer life. I really am. It's like a mental check 101 for me and how I pray and my heart posture. So that's what I got out of the last couple of days. And then when Brother Marcus hit us this morning, I was like, that's what I need to do. I need to, you know, forget going to the doctor and get on a scale and blood work, because we all know we're supposed to be doing that way, but I need to check this old heart and really, really get my prayer life together, for real, for real. I hope that makes sense to somebody. It made sense to me.
It did. Because to hear you say that, and, you know, it's refreshing, because it's showing that, you know, from the outside looking in, I wouldn't believe that about you. If you hadn't said that, there was no way in the world I would believe that, because I feel like you and me bent on before the Lord, not 24/7, but you know what I'm saying? More. And for you to say it's raggedy, I'm like, oh, wow. So,
Oh, yeah, it is.
Thank you for sharing that.
No, but when you know when you're growing and you're trying, you know, there's just things that I know I should be doing and not doing and things that I need. But I know that each day I live that I can do better than I did the day before. So I'm not beating myself up, of course. I'm just checking me. And that mirror ministry that I talk about so regularly, I am really in my mirror more lately. Like, you know, just areas of my life that I know I need to stop thinking. It's like my what did he say? Renew my mind, of course. But it's also some old stuff that I'm holding on to, and I didn't even realize that I was holding on to until the last couple of days. I'm like, okay, that's, you know, and it's a purge. So that's what I got, again, from the last couple of days and then the share this morning and this book that we're reading. I love this book. I'm in this book, and I'm highlighting it, and just, I was laughing because we're eating. I'm opening up my book, and it's all highlighted. That's where I'm at right now. So, y'all, anybody want to talk about prayer? If their prayer life needs a tweak?
What you say? It was highlighted? Your book was highlighted?
It was highlighted.
You made up that word.
Yes, no, Lisa. You didn't hear. What? You didn't hear earlier, because I got bamboozled into eating a snow cone. I ain't had a snow cone in 50 years. Well, I'm 40. I'm 25, whatever. But the snow cone, when I tell you, I said that chocolate was good, because it was the Dollar Rancher green apple. If I find the ones that's all green apple, I'm getting it. But it was green apple with cherry and whatever the lemon is. And I'm thinking I'm young and I'm chewing it and got halfway to Oakland. I'm like, ooh, I had to put it down because my two front teeth hurt, Diane and Bubbly, but my two teeth, the back of my two front teeth were frozen and they just unhooked. And that was at 1:30 today. I'm walking around with my front teeth froze.
We're probably in different colors too now. Green.
Wait, I'm all
like
green.
That was my last one.
You feel like me then.
You didn't tell me you was crunching it, girl. I thought, I was like, no wonder.
I was an ice chewer. No, I like to chew ice. I like to chew ice, but that was way too much.
Yes, iron. Hey, so, you know, before the call, people who chew ice, they have their red blood count might be a little bit low. I used to chew it, and definitely was when I was, before I had my hysterectomy. But now I don't have that issue, and it hasn't come back. But that, you can check it out. It might not be, like, terribly low, but that is absolutely a sign.
Is
but, it? You know,
okay, I'm sorry for somebody else does that, too, I know.
Before the call, and I'm like you, Didi, I believe, I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt, I need to be praying more. I pray more absolutely after, you know, coming on the call with you guys, and it just prompts me to pray more. And then hearing all the prayer needs prompts me to, you know, at any time when God drops somebody in my spirit, you know, to lift them up. But there's just always some more that I could do. And you know what God has been telling me lately? He's saying, you know, all the stuff you learned and all the scriptures you memorized and all that stuff, sometimes we need to go back to our first kind of works. And some of, for me, speaking for me, relying on what I had learned in the past, and I thank God I'm in school, but still on my own study time, there's just new things to learn, and God is saying, if you would avail yourself more, I would give you more. I would reveal more to you. I would open up more to you. And so I just know that we can get as much from God as we want to get. And I heard a pastor, Dr. Matthew Stevenson, he's my Periscope pastor. Anyway, he talked about people saying, you know, how they try to say, you are deep and you want to be deep and all that stuff. Well, what he said made so much sense to me. When people talk about you being deep, well, guess what? Your problems are deep, right? Your situation is deep. The devil is deep when he attacking us, so why wouldn't we want to be deep in God? Hello? That just made so much sense to me. And I used to always be like, you know, kind of feel some kind of way when somebody would say, oh, that's you too deep or whatever. And I get sometimes when you got friends that are saying that. But when people are attacking you for wanting to have that intimacy with God, they don't understand that that's the thing that keeps me sane. That's the thing that keeps me from going off on you. That's the thing that keeps me, you know, in my right mind. So as much as I need to be, who is anybody else to question that? And who are we to question anybody else's intimacy, their level, whatever it is, because we don't know what God is doing to them and through them and where he's going to take them and what their life has to represent before Christ and what that means to the body. So, yeah, I've just been thinking a lot about that. And I can't go back on the scriptures I had learned before and committed to memory. It's time to commit some more. It's time to do some more. And I believe that we feel that tug and that nudge. And like you were saying, Didi, it's just a different time now that we're in. And I believe that he's preparing us for whatever he has before us. And I just want to be ready.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, that blessed me, Lisa, when you said that. Man, I'm over here, I'm trying not to cry. And I was like, oh, my God, because I can hear you, hear what you're saying. And when you said that, it's like all I can hear you telling me is that something about the trick of the enemy when people are coming at you saying certain things to try to throw you off on whatever it is you're trying to do, even though God will speak to you and give you what he wants you to hear, or like you said, he's telling you, you know, there's more you could be doing. But when people start throwing shade because saying you too deep or whatever, and I love the analogy you just said, you know, being deep, as the situations that we go through are deep, so we have to be deep.
They are.
To be able to be made, to be able to, you know, and we have to dig deeper. And he's like, you know, you know, you start digging a hole, and you just at the surface level, and you just, you know, you just got a couple of little scoops off the ground. But the issue, or whatever it is that you're going through, is way down, like maybe 2 or 3 more feet. So you got to go dig deeper to get it, to get to what it is you need to get to. So we have to go deeper in God's word, so that we can be effective and really overcomers and victors in this walk. Because like you said, this stuff that's out here now. I thought about it in my mind. It's like you said, the things and times and stuff that we're going through now, in these days and times, and the stuff we learned way back in the day, not that they're not effective, but there's something else. I hope I'm making sense. In my head, I know I'm making perfectly good sense. But But
right. What roots do you know that take root that are not deep, that are able to stand? And those roots that are not, when the storm comes, they're blown away. The tree is uprooted because it didn't take root and they didn't go deep.
See, that part right there.
But you know, and you know what? The funny thing is as we're saying this word, you know, even going deeper, you know, just think about when someone can teach Romans 10, 9 and 10. They can. You've heard it before, and you've read it before, and it's one of those foundational scriptures. You know, it's one of those things that when you hear people, quote it, you have an idea that they probably are born again believers. You know, you have an idea. We don't know. You know, but there's times in your life. I remember having to teach the kids because Carl was out one Sunday, and I had to go with the teens. And just talking to them about their lives and what is the difference between resurrection and resuscitation. And because it was like, you know what, God, I have to explain this in a way that I have learned it, believed it deeply, and give it to them so they can be able to give an account for what they believe. You know, because I didn't have a doubt that they're believers, but oftentimes believers don't know how to give an account for what they believe. And it was just really funny how the Spirit of the Lord revealed to me about resurrection and resuscitation, about the difference. You know, we talked about being raised from the dead and coming back from the dead, and what is the difference? You know, Jesus never died again. So that, you know, he never died. You know, he just did it that one time. He came back, and he ain't got to do it. He ain't doing it no more. But, and I had to explain it to them so they could get a visual of it. But let me tell you, every time we hear the scriptures, and even if someone gives it, even when the Spirit of the Lord reveals it to someone who's up teaching or preaching or ministering, if you ever notice, sometimes you get a whole deeper understanding of the scripture. Not that it changed. Not that the scripture changed. But suddenly there's a whole other deeper layer in that. It's the same thing in my prayer life. It's not in our much talking. It's not, you know, when we enter into the rest of God, you know, when we enter into the rest of God, this doesn't feel like work.
Right.
I don't want to ever tell nobody I'm doing the work of the Lord. He doesn't need Ravonda to do his work. He don't need you. He don't need you, you, or you. But what he wants us to do is to show up where he needs us to be. When he, because it's relational. That's that horizontal work of the cross. You know, our horizontal Jesus. That thing, that's we can't even go to him if we don't love his people. And so he's given us, you know, he's given us this thing, the word of God. But there's also different level in our prayer life where we believe him differently. That's when he's been speaking to me, Ravonda, believe me differently. You know, but believe me differently. I know you know how to pray this, but you know what? Why don't you pray that? You know,
wow, get out of my head, girl.
You know, I had when I said that I had four seniors, let me tell you, my money hasn't really just been funny, but it's been hilarious, you know. And the Lord let me know, you've got to look back at what I've done for you. You know, I've gotten you out of some hot water that you walked right dead into, and you knew it would burn you. And you had a roof over your head, and you know, ends have met and everything, but you've got to believe me differently. And, you know, for so much time, I have said, you know what, Hadassah, you know, I'm not going to take on any more people because, you know what, I have to really make sure that my first ministry is at home. You know, and Hadassah ain't studying me, honey. She's going on with her life, and she's doing things, you know, and everything. And I'm sitting in there in the living room listening to crickets, and it's like, now what? You know, and the Lord is, like, revealing to me, you know what? You keep saying that. You keep saying that, and you're going to continue to be sitting on the couch listening to crickets.
And she's gone and grown and married.
Yes.
Hey, look,
Ramona's
still waiting on her.
Right. Waiting on Hadassah. But let me tell you guys, when those ladies came to me, it was really funny today. It was overwhelming. I needed to go outside and get some air, and I didn't do it. But it was overwhelming sitting down and talking with these ladies. You know, and I do, that's mainly what I do a lot on Fridays is my seniors, they come in. But the funny thing was, God says, you know what, this is ministry right here. In the salon, that when you walk in and you take for granted because so much has happened here, this is ministry for you. This is where my throne is for you. Right here, because you're going to meet somebody who's going to come in, and you're going to have to go take them in the bathroom and pray, like I've done on several occasions. But he didn't speak it like I'd done it before. He spoke it like you got to do it different this time. And so I want my prayers to supersede where I'm going. I want my prayers to show up before I get there. You know,
before we even think a thing, he's already
Our prayers should be hospitable. When after we've been praying for that thing over a year, by the time that answer shows up in a year, guess what? I never invite nobody over to my house, and I'm not prepared to welcome them. When my client walks into the door, I'm ready for them. You know, and I pride myself on doing that. Why can't I do that in my prayer life, Lord? Show me how to send my prayers where you want them to go. So that when you answer, the place is already prepared. The place of the miracle is already prepared. The place of abundance is already prepared. The place where you want to send me is already prepared. So it's really to get my heart together. Prayer for me has been to God, get my heart. It's been getting my heart together. Being on this line with you all, let me tell you, it has gotten my heart together. But it doesn't stop with, you know, declare victory. I'm serious. Sometimes I got to roll down the window because I don't like the way my breath smelling because I've been praying for so long. You know, I got to roll down the window to get some air because the windows are fogging up. And so when we get like that, it's just it wells up on the inside of us. It's no occasion. It ain't even the time that we take out to do it. It's whenever we need to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
That's being available to the Holy Spirit and yielding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we strategically do it. It don't mean I got to bow my head. I ain't got to speak loud. I could be in Safeway with the cart praying. You know, God put that thing right up on the inside of us, you know, and it ain't so much that we're just super spiritual, but we're available. We're available to hear him. You know, we're available to hear him. Had I not at times been available, I would have missed him. I would have missed him in situations. We would have missed him in situations had we not been available. No, let me go pray. No, I'm going to pray right here. I'm going to pray right here. Mm-hmm. While this Negro is talking crazy to me, I'm praying right here. What can I say, God? Because I don't want to react. I need to respond. And before I know it, when you open your mouth, you done calmed the beast. Well, they think you can really come to them another way. They don't know you to pray. You done prayed all over them. Like, God, I want to win them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more important for me to win them than to be right.
Right.
I heard. That was my thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Vonda, what you were talking about sounds like going from glory to glory, going from faith to faith, and God enlarging our capacity to receive from him. Just enlarging our capacity, because it could be the same scripture, but it's a new revelation, it's a new illumination. It's the capacity being enlarged to receive more of him.
We have to make room. Yes, we make room. We remove the junk, the stuff that's not necessary, the idleness, you know, of, you know, having to do things that don't even count. You know, you don't even like to do it anyway, you know. But just those things that take up your time, you know, where it separates you from the moments that you really need, the moments that you need, you know, for God to really so tenderly minister to our hearts, and it's not until you felt alienated and cut off from him that you appreciate being in his presence. Just like David, when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That Negro messed up. And he couldn't. He could not.
Yes.
He could. He could not go and worship. He couldn't do. He couldn't do nothing.
Right.
He,
yeah. He couldn't,
right.
Do that.
He couldn't do. He couldn't do anything. But when, but honey, when God loosed him, when it was when his when he had his ba- his bill was paid in full, he said, "I was
yeah.
glad." Yeah.
Yes.
When he was
salvation.
Yes. The, of our salvation, we already said is that thing you were talking about, that beginning stuff that we learned, Lisa, that joy that we had in the beginning. Why can't we desire that?
You think we just get, why do we get like, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Lord, I think it's the cares of this world that we take on that
yes.
we were never created to carry.
Yeah, that's what it is. I really believe that.
I think that's a big part of it.
So when Marcus was talking this morning, and I couldn't even, when he first, I was like, is he really going there? It's like, ooh, ooh. But it was necessary to remind us, you know, what, it was such a good lesson, and it really has had me thinking all day, just like Ravonda said and like you said, Lisa, just to go back and get that excitement and want to go deeper because we have to. No other way around it but to go and to learn get some new weapons. Like, I want some new weapons, if that makes any sense. Something that's going to cut your jugular of the enemy. Like, with sharper. I want some sharper knives to cut that joker's neck off. Oh, Lord. Yes, ma'am. So, awesome, awesome evening, y'all. I am, didn't know, you know how you don't know you're tired till you stop?
And you just fall asleep.
Oh, Lord.
You lay down and you're out. Yes.
I'll tell you what, anybody else want to speak on prayer? If not, I was going to just share just how real, the realness of that vigil last night did, because my daughter Alyssa was classmates with DeMarcus Dawson. When it first happened, the first thing she said was, "No, Mom." And I said, "Well," she goes, "not him." She said, "Mom, when I tell you," and you know, when people, this type of thing happens, you know, people, "Oh, he wasn't in nothing. It wasn't like that." His demeanor, his personality, his spirit, but his sister, her testimony, literally, I kid you not, if I hadn't been holding up this little kid, who one of his friends, just to keep consoling him, I probably would have literally, you know how you just lay your, I just wanted to fold when I heard his sister say that 3 months ago, DeMarcus, he gave his life to the Lord at their church in El Sobrany, but she has text messages from him asking her, you know, what do I do? Like he was crying out that he wanted to get to know the Lord, and so he was working with the homeless. It was like she said, "Lord, I hurt, but thank you." Because I knew, you know, she just with all the things that's unfolded in the last 3 months, didn't know it was going to go the way that it did. But the fact that he had so many young people that showed up, and they're good kids. And I say it because I know the Pinole kids, their demeanor is different. And I'm not saying it, you know, in the stuff they get caught up in, because it was nothing like that. This was, when I say it could have easily been any one of us, the way these people just could care less about lives and don't even matter. But the fact that he just touched so many young, black, white, Hispanic, and I know, like his stepdad said, that his death was not in vain because, you know, just he covered the young lady. He told her to get down, and he shielded her with his body. So he gave his life for her, for something that had nothing to do with him. But it just really made me appreciate, like right now I'm breathing on my own. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And somebody said to me, "Well, are you fearful being down there?" No, it wasn't even like that. I know I was supposed to be there because I connected with some wounded people that I'm going to love on, that other families that have lost their young men, and God is just telling me to just be an ear. You know, I don't have to show up for everything, but when I'm led and the contact information was exchanged, if I'm needed, I'm there. Because I really feel like DeMarcus was my son. DeMarcus was my nephew. DeMarcus was my, and it's been so many. So with his sister, as I was, you know, loving and praying with his sister, she had to,
like she has a peace about it. Because like she said, she knows where he is. Really, you know, when you go through things, like she said, who would have thought this would have come to our door? A kid that's going to school, you know, about to graduate and doing stuff just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so, like, I think it was his mom or his said, well, we lost our son, but there's three other families that lost theirs as well because the shooters are gone, too. Their lives are forever changed. So it's just, it's hard. It was really, really hard.
So they didn't?
Yeah, they've made the arrest.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were supposedly the van that he was driving, somebody else drove. I guess it was like people let me borrow your car, so they were not the intended targets at all. 24 years old. Yeah. And all Alyssa kept saying was, Mom, you remember he played on the basketball team, so, you know, just a quiet kid. Kind of how my son Warmani used to be quiet. Now he talk a lot, but just that demeanor, just want to do better, want to just love. You got your niece, you know, your oldest sister. He was a baby, too.
Mm-hmm.
And just loving on his niece. You could tell that his siblings, they're devastated, but the strength that I saw, it just amazed me. It really did.
I can only come from God.
Mm-hmm. And one of his friends, and when I first, because I was lighting candles, Ms. D said she saw me. I wasn't, you know, I'm not even, I'm kind of oblivious when stuff's going on like that because I'm just trying to make sure people are okay. But when the one kid, I could see him, he's about maybe 6 feet tall Hispanic guy, he was hit. You could tell he was shaking. He was just shaking, and then he just broke down. But I was able to just, you know, pray with him and console him because it's hard for them. This is like my friend was here last week. Now they're gone for something that they wasn't doing, and one of the fathers was asking, why are the good kids the ones that's always getting gunned down in the streets? But, you know, pretty much saying, why don't the other ones get it? But that's not for us to say. Who you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the pain is real, and it's real. It's not the movies. You know, this stuff is happening, and anybody could get caught up like that in the line of fire, and it's just so sad, and it's just sad. It really broke my heart. It really did. It really broke my heart. I'm seeing all these candles lit, and it's like we should be celebrating this boy's graduation from college, his graduation for, you know, congratulations for a wedding, all of that. He's not going to get to do it.
I was so glad when my black got out of Richmond, honey, because he's real Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
But when I kicked him out, honey, that was a twofold blessing, you know, because he had gotten so that he wouldn't stop at stoplights. He would go through the back street.
Right.
And you come pick me up. Boy, you making me scared. Where are we going? You know, Mom, you just don't know what. You know, I hear the gunshots at night, too, you know. And the thing is that, you know, sometimes it ain't even, it's not your partners, even though they're cool, you don't know who they're dealing with, who ain't cool.
With that, Ravonda, this is what I really know for sure, and I'm not just saying it because I read it. It's a spirit of envy and jealousy like I've never seen before. Ain't got to even be involved in nothing.
Mm-mm.
It's just some young people that they don't know nothing but that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like they're wolves. Right. All they know is I'm jealous because this person look like they got something going on, and I don't. So it's like a desperation type thing.
That's what happened with Noah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing with him, and because he was dating all the little girls. And, of course, they weren't his color, and they weren't happy about that. You know, the young boys that couldn't get the girls that liked him. That had a lot to do with some of the stuff with that. I mean, talking about toilet paper in the house and throwing watermelons at the door and eggs and all that stuff. And to look at Noah, he's just a kid with a big heart. He don't have no enemies, you know, necessarily. And for people to just be, I mean, you can understand the term haters, but it's that envy. It's that, and it is a monster. It really is. Because envy and jealousy has caused people to lose their lives.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's real.
Oh, yeah.
And, Ravonda,
hey,
you were saying.
I'm joining in right now.
Okay. Let me just say this to Ravonda so I don't forget. When you were talking about him going through the streets like that, that's real. That's like PTSD for a lot of even my son. Armani is different. He is not fearful, but that doesn't give me peace, if that makes any sense. Because
right.
He told me that he's doing a project and they're going to go clean up Shieldsbury Park, and I said,
I'll be honest. I said, Sales Reed, did they relocate Sales Reed out of North Richmond? And he was like, no, Mom, it's an organization, and they're going around cleaning up the parts of the kids. So y'all know I went with my baby. I went. And he said, y'all know how big he is, and I grew up. My church that I grew up in is right on Chesley. But I was looking around, and the people were outside. You could tell the people that live in those areas know you're not from there. Mm-hmm. So they are looking. And I was like, okay, I was so glad when that committee was done with that project. And I said, where y'all going to clean up? We going to West Oak? No, you're not going. I know you're grown, but you're not. Because my nerves, I'm going to be real. Right. I know to pray, but I don't know. I was like, because he said, Mom, you know where Shields Reed? I said, Armani. You remember when you were little and you go to church with Grandma, she used to go to David Chapel, that park that y'all go across, she'd have an Easter egg cut? I said, or did they move the park? And he started cracking up because he thought I'm serious. And you know, you guys know, just driving home today, I went through certain parts of Richmond, and I just began to weep because I'm like, it's really bad. And if you're not in it, because there's people who've moved out, and then they hear about it, and then they make their comments, but it's different when you're in it. Ravonda, I know, you know, because you're right there, and I am too. But it's, like I said, being out there with that vigil with them. And when I say that they were, and we were hugging one another, and the young girls, and, you know, it was, to me, it was more like a enough is enough, but it was more people than I've ever seen before, too. The Sims family, the young man who was killed, the hate crime in El Sobrani, his family was out there as well. So they're out there supporting, and it was other people. But even the news people that the news, I'm trying to think who it was. One of the guys who said he was with, I forget what channel news, he said he's never, it affected them differently. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, wow. And out victims and, you know, being statistics and all of that, DeMarcus' father said, my son was not a statistic, but now he's put in this category. You know what I mean? It's like, it can happen. None of us are exempt. None of us. So it's just a wake-up call to, it's another part of how to pray, too. I think it ties into, like we said, we got to go deeper. We got to go deeper because we have babies and nieces and nephews and sons and husbands and brothers and us. It's not gonna don't have nothing to do with us either. Not today. These people then lost their minds. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pamela.
I just wanted to come in and I'm so glad you stopped me because I came in after you were discussing what you're discussing. And I'm coming in after the middle, after things, but I wanted to share a few things with you, and that is this. My heart of hearts, I don't live in Richmond anymore, but I am. My heart is in Richmond. My heart is Richmond. When we're talking about this, I want you to know my heart is Richmond, and I'm crying for you. I'm crying for us. So what I wanted to share, though, and I didn't want to forget it, is this. And I don't know why I'm sharing this. I'm from Richmond. So I'm just saying what is in my heart right now is that I want us to, and it's not going to be, it's not easy. I mean, I grew up in Richmond, but I've been, okay, just an hour away in San Jose, but I still live in Richmond, you know, what we deal with. Bottom line is I want us to start speaking. I want us to speak life. I don't want us to speak nothing else about death being around us. I think that's the enemy, and I'm just doing what God wants me to. It's in my spirit. I don't want to hear it anymore. Like, I want to hear we are of life. We are of pride. We are of beauty. And I hope that I'm saying this all respectfully because I haven't had as many people pass away. But I'm from Richmond, and my heart is always going to be Richmond. Always. But when I'm on the prayer lines and stuff, I just want to make sure that we're speaking. I want us to focus on life. We're going to take these people to the top. Tell me what I need to do to take them to the top. And I hope I just needed to say that right now. I love Richmond, and that's me. That's all.
Can I share a scripture with you guys? And for those that are believers that lose loved ones, this is a scripture that I just ran across a couple of years ago. Someone
pointed it out to me, and it's Isaiah 57:1. And it says, you know, and this kind of can give a little answer to why, like the Father said, why are the good ones always taken and why not the bad ones or whatever. But Isaiah 57:1, and hopefully this will bless you and you can help, you know, someone else to ponder this. And it says, the righteous perish and no one ponders it is in his heart. No one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil.
That's Isaiah what, Lisa?
57:1. God is saying nobody considers, nobody even thinks about, nobody even questions the fact that the righteous are taken away to be spared from the evil that's to come.
Man, that's a different
that
perspective.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm actually share this with the market sister.
Yeah. For those of us that are believers, we're going to miss them, but wow, they would be sad for us.
Right.
Where they're going.
She said that. Mm-hmm. That was said last
night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where they're going. But we don't consider that because we're mourning.
Right.
But it's written in the Word
that
we need to ponder it and be, that's the hope that we're comforted with.
That's good. Thank you for that word. That's good. That's good.
That's some good stuff right there. Yes.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have anything this evening on prayer yard?
I'd like to come in on what you just finished talking about losing loved ones.
Uh-huh.
I lost 7 cousins last year before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they had
Hey, Sister Julia, I just called on who this was.
Right now, right? Hey, Julia, on the Friday night call.
I feel like Lord Jesus took them away because they have done their job. They taught us everything, and they were tired. It was time for them to go and with Him, and hope that we learned everything from them.
Yeah, I have that appointment.
Can I say this right quick?
Mm-hmm.
I remember at some young person's homegoing service, but because San Francisco was hit like this a lot when I was still there.
Right.
They would go from one city to the other. It was kind of like a boomerang, from San Francisco to Oakland to Richmond back to San Francisco, that type of thing. But one thing that minister said that day that really touched my heart and made me think about it as we're speaking about all this stuff right here is that, yes, they are gone to a better place, but the question is, why are you still here? What are you going to do while you are still here? You know what I mean? God took them, and you're still here. Think about your life and what you need to do with your life because you got another chance. And that's what just came across my thoughts at that moment. At this moment, that's all. We're still here. What are we gonna do? You know?
That's what changed our life.
And I think the question was pretty much put out there for those who were not believers. But even as a believer,
right.
You know, so what are we going to do while we're still here?
But you know what? I hear you because I know a lot of times when you know you open up, they do it more, at least the service I'm going to, if there's any souls, you know, try to see if they want to accept the Lord. Accept the Lord. But like, I'm feeling like you said, Lisa, too, us that's in the Word and have a relationship established, we need to, Marcus, it was so on point when he said, like, when you check the library book out and you want to keep it a little longer, then you go and renew it. You know what I'm saying? You go and renew. We got to renew some things. I feel like a lot of us go deeper. I'm going deeper.
Yeah,
I have
I hear
no
you.
Choice because it's some just things, and I'll share this with you all, too, just as you think about Larry, my nephew, please, and the Holy Spirit is leading me, just pray. For him, just pray for his mom, Carla, because, again, we all deal with grief differently, but, you know, they had blows last year, and that's like Sister Julia said, she lost 7, but I can only imagine losing your son and then losing your grandbaby together and having to deal with everything that comes out after that, because it's not over. You know, you're still dealing with the whole process and the investigation, so it's a lot to it, and like I was thinking last night at the vigil, It's one thing, Mr. Sim said it. It's like, okay, my son was gunned down, and it was deemed as a hate crime. How do you even begin to process that, but they are in the process of forgiving the shooters. And that right there really is to look at it happening in real life and not, you know, you hear about people saying, oh, I'll forgive the person who killed my child, but to see these people who are believers go through the process, because it's a process, and you can't push a button and get through it. You got to go through it step by step, and each day, like one father said, every day he get up and put on his clothes, he's doing better than he did the day before, because it's a process. Because who would have thought that your child's life will be taken by another human being? And it's not like dying in a car accident or dying from an illness. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like it's a process, and you got to process it, and it's a mind thing, because a lot of people don't come back. You know, I know people who have lost a child, and they lost their they literally died from grief.
Yeah, lost their marriage, lost a lot of stuff.
Yes.
This is telling us this.
Hey, baby.
Bye.
I think that going deeper in his word is almost like being hidden. Psalm 92, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
being the surface stuff is only that. You know what I mean? And even sometimes when we're praying for, like today where I was at the hospital, and when you see, and not to negate it, not to say nobody, because if you don't feel good in your physical body, that's real. But to see these babies, y'all, you already know when you go to hospitals where there's young kids and they are fighting cancers and they have different diseases, and you can see the wear and tear on their parents, and you can see the what it's done to their bodies. That right there does something to me. I'm not even tripping on how I feel, like, because I'm tired. You just heard me say it, but I'm not done. There's things I gotta do, so I'm not even. It's like I'm not as tired as I thought I was, because if somebody right now as we speak gotta still be at that hospital.
Well, it's up to God. I'm so content to you all, and I'm thankful for just being on this call right now, because I came in the middle of it, and I'm just so content right now. And I feel kind of dumb even saying what I said before after hearing, because I hear it, and I'm convicted, and
that's okay, Pam. That's why we're together, you know, help us one to another. And it here goes the enlarging the capacity to receive more and to consider more and to think about it a different way. And what somebody else's experience does, it helps us to learn. And that right there proves that it's a safe environment. And by you saying being convicted, it's the Holy Spirit doing what only He can do. He knew there's some things we need to hear so that we can be opened up and exposed to some things, because some of us will never experience it, but it doesn't mean we can't have compassion for it, right?
Amen.
Please forgive me.
No, no, sweetie.
Oh, girl.
No. This is what we are to one another, Pamela. That's what we are as victors. We love each other, mm-hmm. and we share, and we encourage, and we. This is what this is for, family.
Absolutely. It's learning ground. It's training ground. You're learning how to
grow. Wait till you write a declaration.
Right. Why she is. You try to be a declaration and don't nobody ask no questions.
Wait.
She'll feel good since you got it all out.
Mm-hmm. Did I hear? I think I heard. Was that Brother Kenny or Brother Eric?
Hey, family, how you doing? I just chimed
in. Hey, Brother Eric.
Your watch working.
I thought you went to sleep because you were so early.
Brother Eric, do you know where you are?
It's 10:13, bro. It's 10:13, brother.
He texted me like I was wrong, y'all. I had me tripping. I was like, wait, did I miss something?
Lord, it's so natural because I got my phone alarm to 6 o'clock, and so you know we were getting ready for the rehearsal dinner, but the food was late. So I said, well, you know what I'm saying, let me go and get my declared victory fix. You know what I'm saying, may not be able to talk enough, but you know, just say hi. I'm missing y'all like I'm missing my wife, and I'm like. I come on, it's like, you know, you're the first one. And the first one is like, it's like 6:02. And I forgot it was 6:02 Eastern Standard Time. So
no, West Coast and, time, but
I didn't think about that until I sent them the text. And she was like, no, it's like 3:59, it didn't hit me.
Never let that one down.
I'm not going to do him like he did me.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Change the name to protect the guilty.
Thank you, Brother E, for joining us. You know, we just love us some you and some Sister Juju, and be safe and safe travels home.
Yeah, pray for me. I am missing my wife because my cousins get married. She's real near and dear. And her family, and I'm not used to really being around a lot of folks that are married. You know what I'm saying? And not just married, but affectionate like me and Jewish. And so, you know, I'm at the rehearsal dinner. We was at the rehearsal for the dances that we're gonna be doing tomorrow. And they just love it all on each other. And like her daughter is married, and you know they loving it. And I'm getting mad because I'm like, man, I'm looking out here, man. You know what I'm saying? Got to come to the hotel room. Pray for me.
You'll be all right. Call and talk to her all night. Go. Y'all got FaceTime. FaceTime.
Y'all married. Y'all can have phone sex. Call her.
Oh, yeah. We most definitely. We most definitely. So, in fact, I got to get ready to go now. I got to call my baby.
You call her. Bye-bye. It makes you call at the right time. It's 7:16 here, bro. It's 7:16.
I know this. Okay. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you.
Bye, Brother E. My hypey man. Me and my kids do the hypey man.
See, that's what I'm talking about. See, Pam, we all one family. We are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and cuckoo for Jesus and cuckoo for each other.
Amen.
She's going to have to come around us.
I want to be quiet, but you know what? This is what's going to happen. Next time we have an event and you come, you ain't going to be talking about, I'm sorry. You're going to be like, oh, okay.
Okay, I understand. Y'all crazy.
Yeah, she don't know.
And
when we get together in the flesh, all together at once, honey. No, you have to get the right word. Hunty. That's a Miranda red suitcase word. Yes, ma'am, hunty.
Well, do we have anybody that joined let me slow my words down. What am I trying to say? Anybody that did not get a chance to say, hey, I'm on the line, or if they have anything they want to share, or make sure there's not a heavy heart, because that's not what we do on Friday Night Live. We talk about it. So if you're there and you're kind of sitting back because we didn't hear you, or you didn't say anything and you want to, here's your chance to do it. You could just say, hey, we here. We love you. I know I heard Renee. I'm so glad I heard her on the night early. I don't know if she's still on there.
This is my first time, and I'm enjoying y'all.
Hey, we're glad you joined us too, sister. Are you feeling better?
Much better.
Good.
It's tired. I worked a funeral in my church today, so.
Well, we want you to do what you can do, but take care of you, because we ain't trying to come to yours. That's all I'm just going to tell you. Rest, because we want you to be able to. I'm going to need you to prepare some food for my showcase when I do my solos and everything. I need you to be ready to cook all the food for that. Ain't nobody, Lisa ain't saying, why y'all ain't saying about my solo?
Why are you going to do food for you?
Yes, ma'am. I'll let you know. I'll give you enough notice. Mm-hmm. Right. For the green room. It's going to be for the people in my VIP, because everybody ain't going to be able to get in. I don't think Lisa.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Didn't I take Lisa off that list because she had said something?
I'll be co-signing.
She found her way back. She got renewed.
Yeah, girl.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else got anything this evening? Thank you, Ravonda, and everybody.
Yeah. I just want to thank you all
I want to thank you, ladies, for keeping me correct. Like, I just, I'm so thankful for you all. And God is just moving. And because I called you guys, I really wasn't planning on it, but I didn't. I'm just so thankful for the correction. If that means anything, I'm just so thankful for that. So God bless you, and God bless declare victory.
Amen.
That's it.
I love you, girlfriend. Is y'all on every Friday? Yes, ma'am. Well, most Fridays, yeah. We'll make an announcement, but for most of the time, we try to get in something just so we can go into the weekend on a light note. Huh?
Okay. I was telling them Thursday nights for the women.
Yes. There's something almost every night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and married women Wednesday mm-hmm. nights, right?
Well, married women, I'm not married, but Thursday night.
I don't know.
Oh, Lord. No, the single women, all women on Thursday night.
Right.
Yeah.
All the single ladies?
Oh, sorry. I had a flag.
Thank you, Lisa.
Well, is there anybody? We want to make sure that you're good. Have anything they want to share? Any prayer requests? Any praise reports? Amen. Well,
yes, my mouth is healing well. I look like Popeye, but it's all good.
No, you did not just say Popeye. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
Song, girl, like I did.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a Snapchat. No.
Girl, you ain't holding that against me.
No.
You ain't posting that.
I know you wouldn't.
Oh, I would. That's one thing I have learned. I do not post anything without people's permission. Before, I used to just, paparazzi.
Play the play. I'm sorry. I'm not got to get
you had a big clock on your neck.
Yep. They had the wrong time.
Yep, it was East Coast cops.
And he said it again. East Coast
time.
Okay, so look, he got off the phone, right? Because y'all know I'm going to get him, though, right? Because I'm going to do what time is it? I got
to. What time is it?
Hello.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, he pissed me off. I was like, did I miss something? Like what? Like he, somebody asked you a question, put a question mark. Like, I said, ooh, what time are you? Where you at?
No, because when you go to another state, that happened to me when I went back east too. Because I was like, okay, let me make sure. I set my watch East Coast time so I know what time it was there, and then I changed it back when it's time for me to come home. But yeah, because you will get confused.
Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all. So are we all good tonight?
For the 10th time?
I'm real good.
No, but I really do. I'm feeling it because, people don't always say stuff. I just want to make sure because I don't ever want, we were talking about offense. I don't want to ever,
mm-hmm.
sometimes our subjects, we talk and we laugh and we joke, but I don't ever want anybody to think we take light. You know what I mean? We make light of things. So. Because it's never that our intention. Because it's just been a healing place. I know I feel better. And whatever else. And then I just got a text for my church. I got to go tomorrow and support. If they, I ain't singing. Let me just put a shirt on and say, don't ask me to sing.
Because you got to rinse your throat.
What time?
I'm gonna be one of those singers that just show up at somebody's church and we have an A&B selection. And when they call my name, I'm sit there like, y'all been shading me all these years. Now that y'all want my gift, I'm not about to share.
You are, somebody really is going to do that to you.
Oh, Pastor LaVille did that to me.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Like he said, my sister did. And I was like, see, y'all play way too much. I just sat there like, this is me growing.
Who are you talking to?
It's okay. Okay, I should stop playing. Because the minister of music tell me, when you keep talking about it, okay. But I know God purposely skipped me because can you imagine me if I could sing for real? Oh, my goodness.
Right? Yeah.
I'd be a mess.
I'd be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I say the same thing, too. I say the same thing.
Don't forget, he said, make a joyful noise. I can't carry a note, but I will sing.
Yeah, I'm singing. I'm on the praise team. What you talking about, Miss D? I'm on the praise team in my church.
Miss D was singing while she was videotaping.
Well, Miss B, we have that. Miss B, wait.
The joy of the Lord carries my music.
Woo!
It's beautiful to him. You know what? When you, it's the heart of the thing, because
yes,
that has really
yes.
been blessing our praise team. I'm telling y'all.
Lisa, do you sing any solos? Not even one?
You know what? I want to sing one. Tasha Cobbs, For Your Glory. I'm going to sing that one day. I like that.
Well, you know what you should do? You should sing it, and I'll teach you how to get to that range that you need.
Oh, okay.
Okay. A certain way you need to hold your throat.
Oh, maybe
and
I can borrow your mic.
Don't do that.
You got to hold your mic.
My mic is anointed, y'all. Everybody
can
see
that's why I
want to
borrow
it. Listen,
did you just say a certain way to hold your throat? I'm done.
Yeah. I'm
sticking the fork in this.
Wait a minute, you talking about being in a bubble today. I immediately thought about Michael Jackson. I don't know why.
No, really. You know how sometimes y'all just pick, you know what, honestly, okay, I'm going to try to be serious because y'all make me laugh. This lady had told me before that sometimes in order to keep your sanity, you got to stay in this realm. You know, it's not like people think you're cuckoo. That's how you learn to have stuff bounce off you. I'm trying to really get to that place so that I'm not, you know, reacting, and I'm not catching a case. But what's happening now, the things that I used to fly off the edge about, or, you know, somebody say something to me, I pop back, or like I just told Miss Jackie that I used to hit people, y'all. I'm not even playing. I'm so grateful. I have tears in my eyes because there was a time when if I was in a conversation and it got heated and it was too much going back and forth, I'm not going to argue with you, and then if you flinch, I'm going to hit you because I feel like if you flinch, you were coming for me, and that used to be me, seriously. Mm-hmm. I had a fight with one of my friends, and we're grown now. We laughed about it because we were arguing it dry. We were so dumb, some dumb stuff we did, and me and her got into a fist fight because I wanted her to shut up, and she wouldn't. That was, well, who did I think I was? But I'm just saying, even my brother calls me. He's so proud of me now because he used to call me Debo, but I'm not Debo no more. I don't let stuff take me to that place. Ravonda, be quiet. No, I don't.
On Friday.
I don't, but I'm telling you, because I couldn't go to, the kids were telling me the other day some stuff that I did, you know, when I was kind of short-tempered. I'm like, God had me, because y'all would have been coming to, I know they don't have women in San Quentin, but that's where they would have put me if some of the stuff that I, yeah, y'all have been like, Sister D, he can't get Pete's coffee. She in that ugly orange.
Jumpsuit.
And no lipstick.
Oh, no mascara.
And no weave, for real.
Oh, honey. I'd be the braid up in there.
Y'all have to see Dee Dee in her application. Not a application, her application. And then I'm doing hair with my greasy face and all that stuff together. Come on. You ain't taking no picture
only
of me.
Taking pictures.
I put her mascara on in her chair, and she was supposed to get ready because that's her cue. If I'm putting on my mascara, you better be doing your thing. Don't wait on time when I ain't ready. You better get ready.
I done wiped off a half an eyebrow. I ain't got no lashes, no lip gloss. No, I'm not doing that. Oh, no.
You better not take my picture.
See, Ravonda knows. Ravonda, have y'all seen her? She takes some beautiful pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, she does.
Y'all, I love y'all. Y'all have me. Y'all made me. Y'all brought me back. Anybody else on the line? We heard Ms. D. Ms. D, you got something you want to ask, sweetie girl?
Well, I'm on my way to relight the candle from the visual we had last night for DeMarcus. You guys, just keep your family in prayer.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And all those young people out there.
Yes.
Come out to these visuals that sometimes are misdirected, and people want us to run past the pain to the shout,
mm-hmm.
but we have to experience the pain to get to the shout, you know.
Pray
for us, yeah. Because sometimes we brush past things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my prayer, too, is that their compassion wouldn't fail, you know what I mean, because of all that they're seeing,
mm-hmm.
that they don't lose the compassion, and that we don't lose the compassion.
Right.
And be numb to stuff and desensitized because of everything. Yeah.
That part right there.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to keep the candles lit till release the service. So for the next few days, if no one else shows up, I'll be coming down here to light the candles.
What?